be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Made it to the third week in the Mystagogia's mystery series. It's not a series about a particular mystery. The series is the mystery. Remember, we've been building from 3 weeks ago to last week. And then there's a big reveal. What are the two mysteries that are being revealed? So to recap week one, now if you want to go back and hear the homilies, if you're visiting, you missed them, you're out of town, Trivia with the Padre podcast, go find it. But week one, St. Peter told us about ignorance. He said, back then you didn't know, you were ignorant, but now you know. And so the church expounds to us, gives us this distinction about ignorance. We have invincible ignorance, which is we had no chance of knowing. No one told us, we didn't have a chance of knowing. And we're not held culpable for that. But then there's vincible, which is maybe we just didn't try that hard, but we still didn't know. And then there's crass ignorance or hardness of heart. And that's when you don't want to know. So remember that. Week two, we had Good Shepherd Sunday. We talked about what it means to be a shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he goes after the flock, even when they don't want to be got. They don't want to be tracked down. Then what we want to do our own thing. But Jesus, the good shepherd, wants our goodness, our happiness, our fulfillment. So even when we are straying, he comes and gets us, and he does so through the church. Brings us to this Mass. So what is the two mysteries? Well, the first, I have a happy announcement that on October 5th, Bishop Duca will be here at Mount Carmel. He's going to dedicate a new altar for our sanctuary. Our current altar has served us well for many decades, but we're getting something more solid and immovable, a little bigger. It's a little crowded sometimes on the altar. Andrew Coleman is a sacred artist. He's designed it. And if you have the sheet that was given out, we ran out of sheets because people are taking the sheets home, I think, because they wanted to show people the altar. But if you have the sheet, it's on the front. We have three relics: St. Gianna Bretamola, Blessed Bartolo Longo, and Blessed Silos. And they all have carvings about them or connected to them. October 5th, when we're dedicating it, is the feast day of both Blessed Longo and Blessed Silos. And I didn't know it when I picked them. And I looked it up. I said, what's their feast day? Oh, October 5th, the day after St. Francis feast day. This is so cool. Today is April 28th, which is St. Gianna Bretamola's feast day. And so you might be, if you're looking at it, you see St. Gianna's carving is going to be a snake wrapped around a pole and it becomes a cross. And you're like, whoa, what's the snake? It's Moses, because she was a doctor. She was a pediatrician. So it's the symbol for medicine is Moses' staff that he raised up, and the Israelites looked at it and they were healed. And Jesus fulfills that in the cross, where he says, whenever the Son of Man is lifted up, all will come to me. And so St. Gianna will be represented by this symbol, and she was a doctor in the 1950s, which was really rare back then. She was also a wife and a mother of four, and during her fourth pregnancy, Gianna felt an unusual pain. She was diagnosed with a large uterine fibroma. In the 1960s, she was given these three options. They said you could do one of these three. They said removal of the fibroma and a direct abortion. And she said, no, I'm Catholic. No, can't do that. A hysterectomy, which actually is a moral choice acceptable to Catholics in this situation. A secondary effect is the death of the child, but she said, no, I don't even want to do that. Is there a third option? She said, a more dangerous surgery to remove the fibroma, but save the baby, making her future delivery more dangerous. And she accepted that. The surgery was successful, and then later she was having a C-section. She pulled her husband close before she went into surgery, and she said, if you have to decide between me and the child, do not hesitate. I demand it. Save the child. She was delivered of her baby girl, but as a result of the second surgery, she obtained an infection, sepsis. She died 7 days later, but in the interim, while she was on the hospital bed, her sister says that she pulled her close again and said this, if you only knew how differently things are judged at the hour of your death, how vain certain things appear to which we have gave such importance in the world. She was at the hour of her death. She was like, there was so much that was not that important and so much more that is. Her daughter, Gianna Emanuela, was present at her mother's canonization in 2004. How cool. I give you the historic story, the heroic story of Gianna Bretamola, wife and doctor, because one, her second class relic will be in our altar, but two, because she gives us a great example of the trial and the beauty of the Catholic life. It is a beautiful story, and yet she went through a trial. It was hard, and yet there was freedom. Those two things go together. We've been talking about it the last couple weeks. Faced with a very serious medical situation, she knew that as a Catholic, there were some things she could not do. She was even given the grace to do a heroic thing she didn't have to do. Her doctor friends advised her to compromise. She didn't. Being a Catholic, a follower of Jesus and of his church in today's society takes heroic virtue. I don't have to inform you of how confused and depraved the world we live in is. You see it every day. Your kids see it, your grandkids. We're going to have to look drastically different. And when we do, it will be hard, the trial. But it will be freeing, the beauty. You ever heard the phrase, freedom ain't free? What does that mean? It means we all love freedom, but it comes at a sacrifice, right? What it does for our personal life. I mean, people talk about that with our country. It's true. But our country is made of people. And if we love freedom, then it starts in our own heart. It starts in our own soul. And it's hard. Truth is hard. This July 25th will mark the 56th anniversary of Pope Paul VI, St. Pope Paul VI, encyclical letter Humanae Vitae. It was written in 1968, a year in the heart of the anti-authoritarian shift in America. I mean, Woodstock's about to happen. They're in Vietnam. We're in Vietnam. Free love movement is everywhere. That's the context of Humanae Vitae. And Paul VI shocked the world and Catholics, but he reiterated the church's teaching that artificial contraception is not moral and not permissible. Everyone thought he was going to change it. Everything else was changing. All the other churches were getting rid of it. They're like, nah. And it came to the church 1968, and he said, no, this is the natural law. This is God's revelation. This is Catholic morality from the very beginning. Now, commenters were making fun of the church. It was mocked. Even Catholics were mocking the church. Look at the archaic church behind the times, these old men telling us what to do. Oh, you have a young man telling you what to do. Okay. They even accused the church of malice and hatred and stupidity. Many Catholics began to ignore the church's teaching, and recent studies say that of weekly church-going Catholics. So this isn't someone who comes once a year or twice a year. This is weekly, every Sunday Catholics, only 13% believe contraception is wrong, and 87% agree with its use. That's every week Catholics. Now, actually, this is kind of understandable for one reason, is that in 1968, when Humanae Vitae was given to us by Paul VI prophetically, many, 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 in fact, I would say in the United States, a majority of priests did not teach it. They didn't do their job. Bishops dissented, priests dissented. At the Catholic University of America, they printed it out, they read it, and then they ripped it up and burned it. Priests. That means some of us are invincibly ignorant. You couldn't have known, or maybe a priest told you something. That's not true. Well, I'm here to say, like last week, a good shepherd says, I don't care what the world's going to do to me. I don't care how it will be mocked or how, you know, I'm standing in the breach. I'm here. I'm your pastor. My job is to gather the flock, and it's good news. So if someone has told you something different, or your parents told you something different, or your grandparents told you something different, if a priest told you that it's okay to use artificial contraception, he was wrong and unfaithful. Humanae Vitae was made fun of and mocked, but in hindsight, it seems to have been a prophetic document. What does it mean to be a prophet? It means to tell the truth about now and to tell the truth sometimes about the future. And it warned about three things that would happen if artificial contraception became regularly used and destigmatized. So he prophesied. He said, look, you do this, this is what's going to happen in our country, or not in our country because he's writing from Rome, in our world. He said there'll be a rise in infidelity and a decrease in general morality. Specifically, he said, first, consider how easily this course of action could open wide the way for marital infidelity and a general lowering of moral standards. Well, has that happened? Remember, I asked you, ask yourself, has it happened since 1960 to now? Divorce rates up. Infidelity up. I went back to April 1960, and I looked at what was the number one song in the Billboard 100. And it was Elvis Presley, Stuck on You, I think it was. And it was just delightful. Delightful little bop, right? You could play it in the car, go play it on the way home. You cannot play in your car. I refuse to let you play the number one song right now on Billboard Top 100, at least for last week or a couple weeks ago. So it's either 1 to 3 or somewhere around there. And I want you parents to go look up the lyrics. You're not going to understand what I mean right now until you do, and you probably won't be able to finish it. And I'm not scared to tell you what the song is, because your kids, it's the reason why it's the number one. You thinking they're at school and no one knows this? Okay, the song is Like That by Future, who's a rapper, and Kendrick Lamar, who's a rapper. I was looking at the kids' faces, they were like poker face. They were like, mm-mm. Guys, when you read this, don't even read it while you're driving. Pull over, park, get a little baggie, ready to vomit. That's how bad it is. It is horrible. And then tell me that our morality hasn't gone down since 1960. Second, he said there will be a loss of respect for women particularly. Another effect that gives cause for alarm is that a man who grows accustomed to the use of contraceptive methods may forget the reverence due a woman. Have we forgotten the reverence due women? And disregard our physical and emotional equilibrium, which is amazing because that's, you know, the pill disregards the woman's physical and emotional equilibrium. And reduce her to being a mere instrument of satisfaction of his own desires. Paul the Sixth was a prophet. Not too far down the street, there's a house. It's called the Metanoia Manor. And the girls that live there have come to Mass here. They've sat in your pew and you didn't even know it. There were 13, 14, 15-year-old little girls who were rescued from sex trafficking. The business is only growing, guys. And we like to point out, we like to say, like, look at all these horrible things, but we realize this is a fruit. It's the bad fruit that was on a branch, that was on a stem, that was on a trunk, that was in the roots. And the roots were what Paul the Sixth were talking about. We separated children and monogamy. We separated the ends of marriage, unity and children, from sex. And then this is what we get. Down the line. The last thing he said, he didn't even just stop there. So we got the first two right. Abuse of power. He said, careful consideration should be given to the danger of this power passing into the hands of those public authorities who care little for the precepts of the moral law. So what is he saying here? He's like, look, you do this, this becomes a thing. It becomes commonplace. Who's going to stop the governments when they force this upon people? Go read up on China's one-child policy. It's no longer. Now it's a three-child policy, and it was a two-child policy. Thank you, China, for saying that they can have three kids. But from the 1970s to 2016, a one-child policy. If you had two, you were fined. Like crippling fines for these peasants. So you know what that led to? Because they were like, oh, I want a son. So it led to sex-selective abortion. There was forced abortions by the Chinese government. I know it sounds kind of conspiracy theory. It's not. It's like, go read it. And then even in our own country, years ago, you remember the Little Sisters of the Poor, when the government was, or someone was suing, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, was suing the Little Sisters of the Poor because they were like, you have to provide contraception. Do you see what's happening? It passes into the hands of the government, and we let it happen. Paul VI could make these predictions because he knew, as the Christian church had always known, that separating the purpose of sexuality from the actual living out of sexuality would fundamentally alter understanding of men and women, who we are as a man, as a woman. It would alter understanding of marriage and what its purpose is. It would alter our understanding of just what it means to be human. Guys, why do we not know? Why is there so much confusion? And so it's because we divorced it. Everything has a meaning. What it is based on what it's for. If you have a chair, it is a chair. What's it for? To sit on. But if you start chopping wood on the chair, what's going to happen to the chair? It's not going to be a chair anymore, right? Sexuality, what it is what it's for. And when we stop what it's for, when we hinder that, then it becomes something else. It becomes Metanoia House down the street. It becomes the internet. It becomes the number one song on Spotify right now. It becomes that. So now that we're buried under the bleak reality of our current situation, I'm going to give you some good news. You ready for good news? As Catholics, we don't have to live in this culture of death and degradation ourselves. We don't have to participate in it. We don't have to continue it. We don't have to be its patrons. In fact, we're commanded to be different. This is good news. Catholics cannot use artificial contraception. That's good news. It's hard. It's difficult news, but it's so beautiful. I promise you. We're given a different way. It's called God's commandments, the life of grace and the guidance of his church. The church's teachings are the only sane thing left. We can't abandon her. We thought that artificial contraception would be harmless, but apparently not. You see what it's done. Paul VI prophesied it. The truth is hard, but freedom is too, and you deserve freedom and truth. The world is giving you lies and they want it to be handed down to your kids and your grandkids. God gives you the truth through his church. Say yes. Do not close the book. Remember last week I said, don't close the book. Don't turn off the podcast. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. In our second reading today, it says, children, let us not love in word and speech, but in deed and truth. What does that mean? It says, look, we can say we're Catholic. We can say we're Jesus' followers, but we should live like it's true, like it's real, like Jesus existed, that he walked this earth and he called apostles and he said, Peter, on you I will build my church. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Do you believe it? Is it just a make-believe story? Jesus existed. And when we live these hard truths, then the gospel becomes alive. It's real. It'll break open your heart. Just start doing this. You'll become holier because you'll have to surrender. And this might sound scary, or it absolutely sounds scary, and it is scary, but what true adventure in life is not scary? You want a boring life where you just sit around and everything's like, no! You want adventure. You want love. The church does have a teaching for you and a practice that is more. It's called natural family planning. You might have been lies told to you about it, and I'm not going to explain it now, but I'm giving you flock note. There's so much flock note stuff. Guys, if you don't get flock note, you're missing out. You're missing out on like half the weekend. You got to look at the flock note. There's YouTube videos on this week with Father Mike Smith, and he explains it way better than me. The reasoning. I'm just giving you the teaching, but the reasoning. Go back and find it. So here's some last things. If you and your family are already living this teaching, praise be Jesus Christ for your yes and your yes to God and his church and your yes for your family and for our community, for our parish. Should have heard last Mass. It was like, it's like I invited all the young families and the babies just to drive my point home. And it was like, wow, it was awesome. You got it. Okay. Thank you for that, yes. If you find yourself beyond childbearing years and everyone is already in college, if the ship has left the dock, if you will, some of you are in that situation, and you're like, well, why are you talking about this? Why do I don't need it? Yes, you do. You know why? Because you got friends, you got kids, you got grandkids, and I'm not in the doctor's appointments. You are. It'd be weird if I was there. Absolutely. You need to be. You're there with the OBGYNs who are feeding you lies. Again, I sound like a conspiracy theorist. I am not. You know me. You need to know. Even if you did not live this and you didn't know, or a priest told you something different, you're like, it's in the past. Mercy is given. Forgiveness is given. Come back and understand fully. Can you give a witness? Can you explain this to your kids and your grandkids and give them a reason for this? We need you. And if you didn't live it or you're not living it, this is a challenge. Right? We cannot live in ignorance anymore. You can't. You know. Now dive in. The first thing you should do is not table this homily, because this is the temptation. You're sitting in your pew and you're next to your spouse and you got a kid in between you and you're like, just keep looking forward. We're going home. We're going to get brunch. We're going to get mimosas and we're not going to talk about this. Okay. After the 9:45 Mass, Olivia, this altar server, she was like, that was an interesting Mass, Father Brad. And I said, well, I'll just ask your parents about it later. She's like, my mouth is shut. It's like, okay, well, maybe they'll bring it up. But no, that's the temptation. No, you can't. Whenever you get home and it's time for bed, put the kids to sleep, crack open a bottle of wine, listen to the homily series over again, and pray. Pray at least a decade of the rosary. Read scripture, pray together. There is no way I can completely explain the reasons sufficiently. So pour through the resources. They're all there that are provided. Humanae Vitae is linked. There's YouTube videos. You'll find natural family planning instruction course from NFP 101 and links to all the major methods of moral family planning. There's a book in the gift shop. I highly recommend it. It addresses the church's teaching on gender theory and contraception and same-sex marriage and all that. It's called The Good News About Sex and Marriage. It changed my life when I was in high school. If you need to talk to me together, I'm ready with a cup of decaf coffee because I can't have regular coffee anymore. And I'm not really playing a lot of golf right now, so I got the time. Come to me. Y'all are my people. I'm your pastor. I love you. You're all I have. You are it. You're the bride. Ain't got no one else. Come to me. We are no longer ignorant. Jesus, the good shepherd, has sought you out. He calls you back to the fullness of the fold. He shouts your name. We already know what rejecting the good shepherd has given us. Just look around. It's time to look a little and live differently. This is good news, I promise. Please stand for our profession of faith.